Fit for Europe, the Fit for Them podcast.
Welcome to the next episode of our Fit for Them podcast. Today, we are going to talk about cultural heritage, how to preserve it, and how to make it available to the wider public. To talk about these topics, I recorded a conversation with two distinguished guests from the University of Palermo. I talked to Professor Fabrizio D'Avegna and Gianmarco Braghi. Let's listen to the first conversation.
I have the first question to Fabrizio, who delivered a very, very interesting presentation about the survey concerning cultural heritage. Fabrizio, please tell us more about your findings and the conclusions that we can all use.
Thank you, Stan, for your question. First of all, I am Fabrizio D'Avegna, professor of History of Christianity and Churches at the University of Palermo and leader of the WP4, the project Fit for Them. WP4 is about sharing research and digital resources. Within a task of this WP, the task 4.1, which title is Linking of Digital Content for Virtual Access to Research Resources, all the university's partners have been asked to fill in a survey entitled Cultural Heritage at Your University. So each partner inserted their information about five macro categories of cultural heritage at their disposal, such as museums, the first one, the second, scientific, historical, and educational collection, the third, sites of naturalistic, archaeological, historical interest, fourth, ancient and rare books, and finally, university historical archives. Indeed, the aim of the survey has been to identify a set of these cultural heritage items having common topics in order to link and share them within the alliance and with selected external stakeholders via the Fit for Them digital platform that has to be built in another task of the same WP. The principal outcomes of the survey show us that as an alliance we have 113 cultural heritage items at partner disposal, 17 museums, 44 collections, 16 sites, and 36 very distinguished ancient and rare books. In particular, is very interesting, it's important to underline that most of these items, belonging in particular to museum collection and sites, have their own website. So, in some way, they are immediately shareable within the alliance. About the topics, the intersection topics among the cultural heritage items at partner's disposal, we have in particular art, botany, history, entomology, and paleontology. Here I could give more and more examples, but for example, in Palermo we have an extraordinary building that is the prisons of Spanish Inquisition, with wonderful graffiti of 17th century. But also the other partners have spectacular cultural heritage items. Of course, history represents the key intersection, the key topics within the Alliance Cultural Heritage, the only one that includes all the partners, also because it's a wider transversality within cultural heritage. In conclusion, as an alliance, I think we have a very rich cultural heritage, and as WP4, we hope to enhance it adequately via the new digital platform, starting precisely for the main topic intersection just mentioned.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That was very exciting. Thank you.
My second speaker is Gianmarco Braghi. Please take a listen.
Okay, Gianmarco, you were talking about accessibility to cultural heritage. Can you share some of your thoughts about that with our listeners?
Yes. The thoughts about accessibility, which I shared during my presentation at the general meeting here, are based on the fact that, of course, I'm new to the University of Palermo, which I have joined 6 months ago. And as a consequence, I'm also new to the Fit for Them project and to EU alliances in general. But I'm not so new to European projects in general, and in particular to the process of implementation of a European research infrastructure, which is coordinated by the institution with which I have my second affiliation, which is the Foundation for Religious Studies, John the 23rd, which has a very old see in Bologna. The first see is in Bologna, and the second see, which I'm honored to coordinate, is in Palermo. So one of the things that I was focusing on during my presentation is the fact that the widely acknowledged and accepted definitions of accessibility, and I've made the example of the crucial needs of people with disabilities, for example, invariably and equally understandably, I think, they tend to focus on and privilege accessibility to tangible cultural heritage. And although these models of accessibility are user-centered, mainly for inclusivity reasons, the significance of the contents of the object of this accessibility, that is, cultural heritage itself, sometimes tend to be somewhat out of the picture, because we tend to focus on how to access such a treasure of knowledge, but we sometimes risk to overshadow why it should be accessed and enjoyed by all. And the answer, because it is a fundamental human right, which it is, I think it's kind of a shortcut. It's not a full answer to this question. And as we have seen in the case of the work done so far by WP4, cultural heritage can be and has been interpreted in its widest possible meaning, thus giving it more significance also in terms of what a wider definition of accessibility could mean. And the result is a range of fruitful intersections amongst partners for what concerns the most diverse topics, and where history clearly takes the lion's share. And that signals us that the concept of cultural heritage, which is at the crossroads between the tangible and the intangible, thanks to its constitutive historical dimension, can be benefited from to include the greatest possible amount of expression of material and immaterial inheritance from our past, bearing significance for the present and the future. And one of the questions that arose in my presentation, also due to the the participation in the research infrastructure on religious studies that the Foundation for Religious Studies has spearheaded, was, what is the role of religion in the discussions over and on cultural heritage in general? So the example of the user-centered approach we had in the resilience infrastructure project is mainly based on researchers. So we have a very distinct plateau, say, of stakeholders to address, and we have delved into the issues connected with the availability even before accessibility, which is a problem that arises after you have your heritage available, both from a physical point of view, so with transnational access for scholars to libraries and archives, and with a very big and very important ongoing project of digitizations of the main, source funds that the partner institutions, which are growing, hold in their own archives and libraries.
Okay, that's very interesting. Thank you very much for your contribution. This is all for today. Thank you and bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for inviting me.
This is all for today. Thank you very much for your attention and goodbye.